if they're a distressed owner because they're running into pre-foreclosure, or there's other scenarios, they just lost a loved one, or they're losing their job and they're kind of stressed out a little bit about it, you know, we can come up to them and basically have a conversation about what that looks like for them.
This is the naked truth about real estate investing. Your host, Javier, has already been through all the brain damage of this business, so you don't have to go through it. That way, you're not exposed to all of the risk of losing your shirt or getting caught with your pants down. So let's dive into another No BS episode right now.
Hey, everybody. This is Javier Hinojo with the naked truth about real estate investing. And my voice is still gone. It's been a while, but hopefully it comes back soon. And so it'll be very interesting. Still going hard. I got my assistant. She sent me a message. She's like, hey, drink something. And I thought she said tequila, and it was not tequila. She meant honey and lemon. So anyways, so if I sound a little bit happy, that's probably why. But I got Keith Fiscombe. Can I pronounce that correctly? Come on. How did I pronounce that?
You did.
Yeah, Fiscombe. Good, good.
Fiscombe, yep.
So in today's episode, I'm just going to give you a little background on him. He's a Navy guy in his first lifetime, been married 24 years, has one girl.
Yeah.
And he's done wholesaling, flipping, some building, has a coaching program, mentor program, and they have some e-commerce, and they also have a pretty cool retreat once a year in Cancun, which is epic. It's insane. So today you're going to learn a little bit about Keith and what he does and his business and his role. I know his partner is Terry Thayer. So they're actually here in Raleigh. So I get to see these guys quite often. I'm happy to see Keith all the time. Not so much Terry, but they're great guys. And definitely Keith is just a chill guy. He's probably one of the chillest guys I know. He can sit down and have a long conversation, or you can sit down and have a long walk. I mean, whatever you need. He's just pretty chill. So today, we'll just learn a little bit about him, a little bit about his kind of coaching systems that they have. And we'll see. We have some questions on his favorite type of leads or exit strategies, and maybe, you know, just a couple of different nuggets he'll throw out there today. What did I miss there, Keith? I know there's so much more I can probably have. I can have like 10 more podcasts with you for sure.
Yeah, exactly. So I think the only thing that you really didn't tap onto is we do a little bit of single family and duplexes for passive for rentals, right? So
yeah, that's right. You have some doors, right?
Nothing too crazy, but that's about it for the most part. Yeah.
You guys are pretty busy. You guys have a whole team.
Trying to get into the big boy space in the multifamily.
For sure. Yeah, and you guys have a team.
Yeah, we've got a team where here in Raleigh, we've got an office, we've got a team, we've got in-house, we've got VAs. So we've got a pretty decent structure of in-mix between live bodies and virtual bodies. So,
all right. So if you would say, what's your main, you wear a lot of hats, man, a lot of hats. But what would you say would be, maybe give me like one or two things?
I do. Yeah, I think at the end of the day, my primary responsibility is to make sure our finances are tight, that the numbers are working, and that we're driving our business off of key performance indicators, aka dashboards, let the data drive the business. So that's my responsibility, is to make sure that on the backside that we're tight and we can move in many different directions and have some flexibility with that.
What's the biggest challenge with that, trying to keep that all in order?
It's the input of the data, right? So it's garbage in, garbage out. So if the data is not clean, I can't really produce good key metrics and indicators, right? So, but we've got our acquisition team, we want to hold their feet to the fire. They're making enough offers and getting off, talking to enough people and things like that. So the biggest challenge with that is just at the end of the day is that there's so many different moving pieces, is making sure that everybody's in sync, right? So if my marketing doesn't do the right thing and my acquisition doesn't do the right thing, then we don't get deals at the end of the day. So just making sure that everything's a well-oiled machine at the end of the day and keep things moving.
So for some folks, that might be kind of overwhelming. Like, where do I start? What number do I look at? Like, you just blew that like it was nothing. But I'm listening to like, holy crap, that is a lot of work. That's a lot of data. Even though it took you like 2 minutes to pop it out, because you do that every day. But sitting here thinking about it, you know, I'm like, wow, that's like tons of data. And how does somebody not get overwhelmed? Or what would be like just two things that you would say, hey, look, just a couple of things. Just track this. Say somebody just had a pen and paper so they wouldn't get overwhelmed. What would you say?
Yep. So pen and paper for us, you know, it's going to depend on which business, but we'd like the marketing and acquisition side of the business, which is the wholesaling. That allows us to get into a lot of the other things, whether it's fix and flip or buying raw dirt, building, whatever, adding to our doors. So for me, I think the key ones, two takeaways for those would just be, is just track who you're talking to and how many people you talk to in a day. So whether or not you're marketing directly to people and having cold callers or however you're going about it, or if it's just you, you're a solopreneur, just like I started off, right? I started off as a solopreneur in 2015. That was quite a while ago. I think obviously we've known each other since about 16 when we were kind of tracking around the auction circuit and all that. You know how many people you're talking to and how many offers that you've got going on. And that'll help you monetize your leads and your opportunities. If you don't know who you're talking to, you don't know who you're making offers to, pen or paper, CRM, if you've got a great systems in place, Excel, whatever, it's not going to matter. If you don't know quality of conversations and how to follow up, you're just not going to be successful.
Yeah, for sure, right? You can have this, all the bells and whistles, but if you don't have the right lead flow or even the right acquisition systems, right, it'll be kind of tough. So one thing that you said in that answer was you started by some lead flow and then, you know, you said wholesaling, right? But from there, it opens up everything, right? You can either buy, get it under contract and sell it to somebody else, right? Which is a wholesale. Or you can go ahead and get it yourself if it fits your box and flip it, right? Or if it's a piece of land, maybe you tear it down and you build new, right? There's, you know, it gives you a couple of options because that's what you have in your, you know, in your back pocket, right? You can do a few different things, not just wholesale, which is great. But if somebody's starting out, you can start wholesaling and eventually you can start, you know, being able to fix and flip and do bills and everything. But it does start with the lead flow for sure. There's a lot to it, follow-ups and the closing and all that, but just definitely keep track of the quality of leads. That's super good. That's good advice there, Keith. So what would you say if somebody came in and a project deal goes by single family, goes right by your desk. What is the quickest way to look at it and just say, okay, this is no good, this is good? Like, just, I know a lot of people spend an hour trying to analyze something, but I know there's a quick way to be like, hey, I can take 2 minutes and I'll let you know if I'm even in the ballpark, and then I'll spend more time on it. What do you do?
Great question, Avi. I think a lot of people get caught up in the opportunity and they think everything's an opportunity. And to be realistic, it's not. So a lot of times people spend time, what we call analyze deals, and they're not deals. So those of us have been around, we can figure out an exit strategy for just about anything that's put in front of us. But at the end of the day, for me, it's very simple. We've got what we call a deal analyzer, right? We just plug it and play it. I've got certain buying parameters for all the different exit strategies that you just mentioned, right? Whether I want to fix and flip it, I want to wholesale it, if I want to take it down as a rental, or if we're going to build. We've got a really cool analyzer that is one-stop shop. We plug it in and kind of check the bells and whistles to see where it hits and see which exit strategy is going to be our best one. So for me, that's how we're doing it here. For a lot of people that are just getting going, I think that you're going to be chasing the deal. And it depends where your lead's coming from too. I got to stress that, right? So if you're getting another deal from a wholesaler, or if you're getting off market, or if you're going to the MLS, it really depends the type of lead that's coming in and how you're going to analyze it at the end of the day.
Oh, for sure. That's really good. You guys put that calculator together. You guys offer that like to your coaching students? Yeah, for sure. That's definitely
absolutely. Forte, that's a staple in.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that's huge just because it just saves you so much time and energy. And it pops out different strategies for you. Rent, burn method, right? Buy it, fix it, rehab it, get your money out. I mean, there's just so much stuff that you can do with the right calculator. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah. And then if that calculator goes flatline on us, then it'll still hit my desk because, again, we can get creative, right? We can do leases, subject twos, wraps, the burr, right? So all kinds the other strategies on top of just buying outright that a lot of people that are just getting going aren't going to really understand. So we can monetize just about any deal, even if it's a referral, right, to another realtor or whatever. So just make sure that you're monetizing all your leads, because there's money in every single lead that comes across, but not every deal is a deal, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I just heard you say, hey, sometimes we just push it off to a broker and you get a marketing fee. Can you get you can give you a marketing fee, maybe make some money in the back end, pay for some more marketing. One thing you did kind of mention that I'll transition to is kind of the cool structures, right? There's a lot of structures. You can structure a deal 1,000 ways. So what would you say is one of your favorite ones?
So it's going to depend, right? So if we're looking for the rental side, it's going to be a lease with a wrap. So most people are going to know it as owner financing, right? Where somebody's going to try and get into a house that they may or may not qualify for whatever reason. It could be credit, it could be job length, it could be no cash down or something. So we really like those as opportunities to get people into. Subject to has been really good to us. A lot of people don't realize what a subject to is, and they're complicated. So first thing I'm going to say is a disclaimer is make sure you're talking to an attorney before you start to set up either of these types of creative financing structures. And not all attorneys are created equally, right? So there'll be attorneys that will shy away from them and they're only transactional, but you got to know what you're doing with them when you're presenting them. But some of the best wholesale deals and some of the largest flips I've ever done have come from these types of things. The lease wrap, a lot of times they're going to default. So you're going to continually get those deposits multiple times on that property before they finally move. And then on the subject too, a lot of times you're getting it at a really good deal to put a lot of money up front because you're going to start carrying their mortgage for them after you go through a lot of very meticulous steps, you know, like 5 or 6 steps to get you in the door on that one. And then so you don't have to come out with all that money to purchase a $300,000 home. You just got to carry a $2,000 mortgage payment until you can get out the other side. So
why don't you hypothetically... So you had a project. What would a hypothetical project look like? Just do like an owner carry. Just kind of give me a quick breakdown. How would that look?
So an owner carry owner basically finance. Is going to be
we're subject to owner finance.
Yeah, I got you. So owner financing can come in many different ways, right? So if they're a distressed owner because they're running into pre-foreclosure, or there's other scenarios, they just lost a loved one, or they're, you know, losing their job and they're kind of stressed out a little bit about it, we can come up to them and basically have a conversation about what that looks like for them, how we can help them get out of the situation, stop the payments. We would approach them with some documents and make sure that we sign. One of the first things we're going to do is an authorization so that we can speak directly to their bank. So I want to know the payoff. So if it's not free and clear, I need to know exactly what's going on with that mortgage payment, how far behind they are when they're typically behind, because that's a lot of the ways that we get the owner financing is that somebody's behind on the payment, they need to move out of the property or it's a rental property and it's an absentee. So, and then what we'll do is we'll basically negotiate a scenario where we pay the mortgage for them directly to the bank, not to them. And that's how they're going to do the owner financing for us. We're going to take care of their note that's in place after we have a deed of trust and things like that secured to get into the property.
Yeah, it's a lot of steps and a lot of people might be overwhelmed, but it's doable. You know, I did a few owner financing projects on single family. Heck, I'll do it also on commercial properties. Actually, it's amazing on commercial property. And it works out great. As long as the owner trusts you, like you, and you're honest with them and just do what you say, it works out. What would you say one of the risks is? I know there was one particular situation. I don't know if you can talk about it, but I remember seeing it that you talked about, but I don't know if you want to bring it up.
Yeah. So one of the risks on that, right, is if you're working through the process, and I'm going to use subject to you on this one, in the case that Javi may or may not be referring to, there might have been more than one. I purchased something at auction and it was a second mortgage on a property. And a lot of times you're not going to recommend going second because you still have that first in place. So I ended up buying the property at auction, won the auction, cleared the auction, paid for it. And then it turned out that negotiated with the heir on that property because they were still in that property. So they wouldn't move out of the property. They were still contesting the auction, right? So long story short, at the end of the day, the attorneys got involved. They were worried about it. What we ended up doing is we gave them cash for keys. So that was one that we stumbled on. Another one, and this one's probably even better for you and the audience, basically, as I was talking subject two. Subject two has a clause typically that they can call the note at any time. So as I took over subject two, what I didn't know is I thought I was dealing directly with the actual decision maker.
Yeah. Due on sale clause, right?
Yeah, the due on sale clause. So what I didn't know is what I was dealing with was the heir, who was a son, and it was already in the process of foreclosure. So I thought I was going to beat it to the punch, get it in pre-foreclosure and knock it out. Well, the lady was deceased that had the note on the property. So as we transition through it, they're like, how is somebody who passed away making mortgage payments? So they triggered the due on sale clause. And the nice thing about that is I didn't get hurt, right? I'd actually gotten in, fixed the property. We were in good position. I had my attorney, this is where I told you all attorneys are not created equal. I had my attorney basically speak to the bank, get us an extension on the due on sales. Like, look, I have a offer to purchase contract. We're closing in 20 days because the ticker had already been going. But they did trigger the due on sale clause. And you can talk to 1,000 investors and only a handful of us have ever had the due on sale clause. But you can negotiate it with the right people and the right team and processes in place and avoid getting hurt by it.
Yeah, every time I talk to somebody about that, nobody, nope, it's never happened. I'm like, I know one person that it happened to. And that happened to be at the same time you were putting the video up. I'm like, oh, look at that. What are the odds? Somebody in my hometown, somebody
yeah, that one,
it happened to.
Yeah, it's literally 5 miles down from the road from my office here in Raleigh. It happened. So,
wow, yeah, that's super interesting.
Didn't get hurt. Still made $40,000 on you. So,
yeah, I mean, hey, not bad. Hey, you know, all right. So we are in the nick of truth, yeah. Right? So there's got to, you know, we got to talk about what is. Tell me one of the worst mistakes you've made in real estate.
Yeah, well, there's more than one, right? Because as we've grown in the business, and like I said, we started this full-time in 2015. You know, we've been going at it hard for 6 years, and you're going to run into different scenarios. So I think there's many that have stories, but one that happened recently was, and you'll know this after I start to talk about it, I bought a piece of dirt in downtown Raleigh. And as we did it, I bought side-by-side lots. So moving forward in the process, I don't build directly. I outsource that to a builder. And that builder talked a good game, had built all their houses for me. He built like 8 other houses for me. And as we were moving forward in the process, everything seemed normal. So nothing changed. Nothing was different. And when we signed the contract to build with him, actually finished those 2 houses for me. But what he didn't do is when we wired and the way we set up the structure, he didn't pay his subs. So the story, the long and the short of that one is make sure that you're vetting your people as you go, because what ends up happening in this scenario is I'm selling these properties and the markets are still really good. And I actually just worked out of them this year, at the beginning of this year, after about 6 months of talking to the subs, because everybody leaned the property. I had all kinds of different things happening with them as far as them trying to recover their money. So sometimes you had to double pay people because I paid my part and I could prove I paid the builder, but make sure you've got everything vetted and outsourced, and do not make direct payments to the builder. Pay the subs directly is the takeaway on that one.
Wow. Yeah, that's insane. That's that can definitely be a game changer right there. I mean, kidding me? I mean, the guy doesn't pay. I mean, it's happened to me, but not in the new build, right? That's a lot of money. You know, I've got it to where, you know, I pay somebody $20,000 and
2 new builds.
But a build, I mean, you're spending a lot of money.
Over $700,000 on that deal, on those 2 houses. So.
Yes, that's
not great. Yeah, and then of course,
you can work your way around $20,000, but yeah, that's insane, Keith. Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm sorry about that. But man, just guys got to, you know.
Yeah, I mean, we work. We're good. Yeah. Here's the takeaway on that. There's a builder's fund. So once you can find yourself that your damage is done against you, you can actually sue the builder's fund. So a lot of people don't realize that. So that's a huge nugget for anybody who's been building and been, I'm not going to call it scammed or whatever. They fell on the situation that they did. But if you suffer losses because of that, you can actually go after the builder's fund because they hold their license there. So you can actually reach out to them and say, hey, on these 2 properties, you know, I had to come out of pocket $50,000 or $60,000, whatever your number is, show it, prove it. You're going to have to make sure you're meticulous in your bookkeeping. And then you present it to them. And in most cases, you're going to be made whole because that's the insurance policy that they hold for the builders, that they want to make sure that people are still using people in the area. And that fund is literally set up for this type of scenario. So make sure you consult your attorney and have those conversations if you've been damaged.
Yeah, for sure. That's a great nugget. I definitely didn't know that there was a fund for that. So that's something I learned today, which is awesome. Cool.
Yeah, most people don't. So, and the only reason why I knew it is because my attorney, they've saved my butt a couple of times on different things on how they structure stuff. So they're like, yeah. No, you can go after them. We just got to make sure after all the liens are gone, then we can put our case together. So,
yeah. And another takeaway there, right? You've already mentioned it a few times, good attorney. So get yourself some good quality people. And not just one, but not one attorney, but you may have 2 or 3 because some specialize in other areas. So
we got 4.
That's awesome.
At all times.
Yeah, and one's just for Terry. Yeah. No, he's coming on later. He's coming on next. I think next.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, he likes to litigate. People don't hold to their terms. So,
yeah. Hey, so what do you guys got going on? Anything you want to share? Kind of upcoming? I mean, the mic is yours. What do you want to share?
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. Now, we've got a couple of different things that we do. We've got a really big event. So September 11th through the 18th, a big show, so to speak, for a whole week, right? So we're going to have entrepreneurs on there. We're going to have different keynote speakers. We're going to go on a catamaran. We're going to go on different excursions together. We're going to network. We're going to bond. We've got that going on in September. That's really the big thing that we've got for the educational piece and the mentorship and the event space. That's the next thing coming up. So, you know, we're always looking for good vendors.
I'm going.
There's a, yeah. So you can go to my Keith Fiscom at IG. I've got a tree link there that you should be able to get to that'll show a couple of the different things that we've got going on. If not me, as Javi's alluded to earlier, Terry Thayer, TerryThayer at IG is, he's got a bigger presence and he's got all the different things that we offer there. So his tree link's a lot bigger than mine, but you can get it right there. It'll shoot you straight to a video and application and then just have conversations. Or you can reach out to me directly, whichever is the easiest format to push everybody to IG, but we'll take
it. Yeah, we'll put it all in the show notes, so we'll keep it here. And it's Keith. It's your first and last name at IG, right?
First and last name at I. You know, that's at Instagram, right? So I try to make it simple.
FISKUM.
Yep.
Perfect. All right. So, we're at this part of the show where I have a roulette. It's called the Naked Truth Roulette. I'm going to ask you four random questions so we can.
Okay. It's a curveball.
There we go. You'll be all right.
What you got?
I'm going to show you here. Let's get this rolling. Let's get this. Let's share my screen. All right. Do you see it?
I can see it. Naked Truth Roulette. Nice.
All right. Let's roll. Let's see what we got. All right, first question coming up. All right, it's going to be a pretty easy one. You know, I'm super impatient. You're probably one of the most patient people I know. So where don't you mind waiting at? Any particular place?
Where don't I mind waiting at?
Yep.
Yeah, that's fun. Restaurants, right? So if I got to wait to get seated or do a table, you know, a lot of people want to get down and then get there going, you know, I don't mind waiting, you know, to get good service at the places we'd like to go to.
Yeah. I don't like to wait. Not at a restaurant. All right. Next question. Let's see what we got. Oh, this is going to be, I hope we get this one. I want to know what your style is. Yeah, there we go. What is your favorite band, song, artist, soundtrack? How about a soundtrack? Throw that in there too.
Ah, wow. So I've got this wide variety of music that I like. So I think at the end of the day, for me, you know, I grew up in the 90s. So I'm a big Red Hot Chili Peppers Under the Bridge, right? Yeah, that's where I'm at. So
you can't go wrong with the Red Hot Chili Peppers, man. Can't go wrong. 90s, the zeros, the teens. It's good.
Right.
All right. Third question coming up. All right. What we got? Oh, if you could pick another time to live, when would it be? You know, the future or the past?
Wow. I would go backwards, ironically. So I would go back to the 1700s when this country was founded. I think that would have been a real exciting time to be part of watching the United States and America grow up. So I think that would have been an amazing time to break and do our thing. And again, this gets back into the Navy thing and the service and all that. So being part of the foundation of what was laid before us is very interesting because I'm a huge history guy. So what that was all about.
Super cool. Last question. Let's see what we got. All right, this is a good one. If you had the world's attention for 30 seconds, what would you say? Go to a tab retreat. No, I don't know. What would you say?
Oh,
how about that?
Did you rig this one?
No, I did not rig it.
So I think at the end of the day, for me, it's be yourself, right? Don't try to be somebody you're not. Do things that you're passionate about. Take time for you and your family, if that's the thing that you do, or at least to be internal. Turn down the phone. That's one of the reasons why 1700 sound good to me. All the noise in the internet keeps us busy and extremely unengaged. And back in the day, you know, so engage with the people that are around you, especially in this environment. You know, take a deep breath and just be yourself at the end of the day.
Oh, man, awesome. Keith, you survived the Naked Truth Roulette.
Barely.
Yeah, you survived
that. Last one was tough.
Yeah, I know, right? It's a good one. I mean, you know, I was like, yeah, I don't know what the heck I would say. I think about it for too long and lose my opportunity. So, but it was nice having you on. Yeah, I appreciate you. I definitely appreciate that. I know you've done a lot of fix and flip, a lot of wholesale deals. You're full of knowledge and, you know, you're always willing to help. You know, you're a numbers guy. You're super chill. I remember running into you in Cancun and at the resort, like at 5 a.m. You were like, what the hell are you doing out 5 a.m? I was just on the way back from the room, you know, going back to my room. Now I was also out and about 5-6 a.m. And we just went for a walk and that was kind of cool. So very enjoyable. Got a cup of coffee and then went for a walk. So it was great.
Yeah.
Another takeaway was team. You have 4 attorneys, you know, just got to make sure you have the right people that you can call for any kind of question. And if you don't have those contacts, I always go out and find some mentors, some coaches. You know, it's definitely worth the money. Just vet them, make sure that they're doing what they say. There's a lot of them out there. If you guys have any questions, reach out to me. But, you know, these guys are good. They're here local. We hang out all the time. So I really appreciate it, Keith. Thank you so much for coming on. And this is Javier, your host from the Naked Truth. Don't lose your shirt.
Time consuming, it can be very scary. It could be like trying to get somewhere without a roadmap. So that's why I created this due diligence list when I buy a property. When I buy an apartment building, or even a mobile home park, you can use it for mostly pretty much any commercial property. But this one specifically is for a multifamily. It could be a 6-unit, it could be a 600 unit. You can use it for what you like. So go ahead and sign up, put your name, email. I'll send you the free link to my due diligence. This is what I've used to buy hundreds and hundreds of units, if not thousands of units. So sign up, you get my link. You get an Excel sheet as well. And also we use the software, project management software, monday.com. Feel free to sign up for a free trial. I do have an affiliate link. You don't pay any extra. They just pay me a small fee. Don't have to use it. You have the Excel spreadsheet, but if you use monday.com, it's actually a lot better, a lot smoother, a lot prettier, and you can do a whole bunch of other stuff. There's even a video there I created in the link. So check the link, sign up, and this is my giveaway for you guys. Thank you so much. Take care.
This has been The Naked Truth. Our mission is to give it to you raw. If you got value from this episode, you're invited to leave an honest written review and share this episode with a friend. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the next episode.